Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
There's an old preacher story that I like, because I like preacher stories. And this one is about a woman who went on vacation to Europe, but her husband stayed at home, and she was going to go to London and then Paris and then Rome and then Vienna. And when she got to London, she called her husband, and as they talked, he said, "Oh, honey, by the way, our cat died." And she was just devastated. She was tired from the trip, and she just began to cry, and then she stopped crying because she got over being sad, and she was mad at him. And she said, "How insensitive are you that here I am in another continent, and you just drop that information on me like that?" And he said, "I'm sorry, what should I have done?" And she said, "Well, when I got to London, you should have said, 'Well, the cat got up on the roof.' And then when I got to Paris, you should have said, 'Well, the cat fell off the roof.' And when I got to Rome, you should have said, 'Well, it hurt the cat.' And then when I got to Vienna, you could have told me the cat was dead, and I would have been prepared for it." He said, okay, I'll try to do better as we talk in the future." And so they hung up, and she went to Paris, and she called him from Paris, and they began to talk for a little while. And she said, "By the way, honey, how is everything at home?" And he said, "Well, dear, your mother is up on the roof." Well, that man did not have very good timing when it came to delivering news. And what I want us to look at today as we are participating as families and as faith community groups and here in our preaching time and our Connect Christmas, as we look at Luke chapter 2 today, I want us to see that God delivers news right on time, at just the right time. Last week we looked at the angel and Mary and that interaction. And by the way, I love the song we just sang. I love songs like that that tell us the whole story of Jesus, that mention his birth and his life and his teaching and his death and his resurrection and even his ascension, which we look forward to. And I love those songs. But his work started at his birth. And we saw that last week as we looked at the message that Gabriel gave Mary. And when Mary heard this incredible news that God delivered to her, she said, "How can this happen? Because I'm a virgin." And we sang that great song that I love, "Glorious Impossible." Because in verse 37, many translations say, "For nothing will be impossible with God." For nothing will be impossible with God. And that is a good translation. But an even better literal translation is "for no word," because that word "no thing" is actually "no word." "For no word from God will ever fail." No word from God will ever fail. One version I looked said, "Nothing is impossible with respect to any of God's words." And that's what I want us to talk about today, because the Old Testament has about 300 prophecies that point to the coming of the Savior. And there are prophecies that talk about his birth, and there are prophecies that talk about his life and his ministry and his teaching and his suffering and his betrayal and his death and his resurrection. And all of those prophecies are there written hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus actually came. And mathematically speaking, the odds of any one person filling any amount of those prophecies is staggering. But I did read that one person fulfilling just a handful, if you took all 300 and you just picked a handful out, one person fulfilling just a handful of those prophecies would be one with 17 zeros behind it. That's the odds of one person just fulfilling a handful of those prophecies. One person fulfilling all of those prophecies like Jesus did is glorious impossible. Only God could do that. And that's exactly what God did, because he spoke in advance and at just the right time. He brought it to completion, and not one of his words ever fails. Amen? Because nothing is impossible with God. And so this morning, I just want to take a look at a few of the prophecies that were given that predicted some specific events around his birth. And I want to share these with you, and I want you to take these into your mind, but also into your heart, because I hope this morning that your faith will be enlarged and that your faith and your hope will be enriched. Because since everything that God said about Jesus' birth came to pass, then you can have full confidence that everything else that God said about Jesus will come to pass. So I hope your faith will be enriched this morning. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 says this: "But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman." And Luke chapter 2, even more than Matthew, Luke chapter 2 tells us about that right time, that when the right time came, and Luke chapter 2 tells us, Luke gives us these kinds of details. "At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them." I love the details that Luke gives because it reminds us that Christianity is grounded in history. It's not a myth. It's not a story. It's grounded in a place and in a time. And Christmas can be and should be more than just good feelings for us. Because in the Christmas story, there are facts that can be nailed down, and that matters. Because it's all about a God who promised long ago, and that same God fulfilled at just the right time. And so I just want us to look. Let's go all the way back to Genesis chapter 49. In Genesis chapter 49, we're going to see Jacob. We have Abraham, and then we have Isaac, and then we have Jacob. God called Abraham. He even promised him then that all the nations were going to be blessed through his descendants. And that's one that points to Jesus. But Jacob does as well. At the end of Jacob's life, he gathers his sons. He had 12 sons. He gathers his sons around him, and he's going to give them a blessing. And when he gets to Judah, he has this blessing to give. "You," pointing to Judah, "you are a lion's cub. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nations shall be his." A prophecy made in the time of Jacob, over 1,000 years before Jesus was born. And in Revelation chapter 5, verse 5, John is there, and an angel gets John's attention, and he points to Jesus and he says, "Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah." In Luke chapter 3, Luke traces Jesus' genealogy through Mary all the way back to Jacob and Isaac and Abraham to Judah. Jesus is the one who holds the scepter and the rod, the staff of government. Jesus is the one to whom all the nations will bow in obedience. In fact, a prophecy that has been made that will come true at just the right time says that the day is coming when every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So all the way back from Genesis 49, we have a prophecy that was fulfilled in Jesus. Another one I want us to see this morning is in 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7, we have King David. And God has blessed King David, and he has been a mighty warrior, and he has subdued the nations around him, and he is at peace. And as David is at peace, he looks around and he sees that he lives in a fine house, but God is still being worshipped in a tent. And so he speaks to God and he lets God know, I want to build you a house. You, God, you deserve a house. And through the prophet Nathan, God speaks to David and he lets him know that you're not the one who's going to build my house. He says this. Well, he says, you're not the one who's going to build my house. He said, I'm going to give you a son, and he is the one who is going to build your house. And that prophecy does come true. Solomon is born, and Solomon is the one who builds the incredible temple to God. But God had more prophecy there in 2 Samuel 7. He says, furthermore, the Lord declares that he will make a house for you, a dynasty of kings, your house and your kingdom will continue before me for all time, and your throne will be secure forever. I love that David wanted to build God a house, but God says, no, I think I'll build you a house. I'm going to build you a house of kings. One of your descendants is going to reign on the throne forever. And all the prophets who came after picked up on that, and they looked for that day to come, a day when a descendant of David would come as the Messiah and as the king who would reign. And in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, it's a great messianic passage, a passage that points to the coming of the Messiah. But in Isaiah 11, 1, it says, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. Well, David's father was Jesse, so it's the same kind of prophecy. And then Jeremiah writes, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely. He shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he shall be called. The Lord is our righteousness. And at just the right time, God brought that descendant of David, a son of David, a king who reigns now and who will reign forever, just as God prophesied. And the very first verse of the New Testament says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David. Perhaps the very best known prophecy from the Old Testament surrounding the birth of Jesus is that he was to be born of a virgin. And you know that prophecy. We sing about that. We talk about that maybe more than almost any other part of the birth. But the context in which that prophecy was given is really interesting. Ahaz was the king of Israel. And God told Ahaz something that was about to happen. And Ahaz wasn't a good king. God told him something that was about to happen. And then in Isaiah chapter 7, it says, later the Lord sent a message to Ahaz again. And here's, I'm paraphrasing, I'm not reading the scripture, but here's what he says. He says, go ahead, God says to Ahaz, you go ahead and you ask me for a confirmation that what I said is going to happen. So God has made a prophecy. This is what's going to happen. Then he comes back and he says, Ahab, I want you to ask me for a sign. I want you to ask me for confirmation that what I said is going to happen is going to happen. Ahaz is not a very good follower of Yahweh, but he is smart enough that he says, whoa, no, Lord, I am not going to test you in that way. And then God says this through the prophet Isaiah. He says, okay, then I will come up with a sign myself. If you won't come up with a sign, I'll come up with one myself. Something so difficult that it is as high as heaven and as low as hell. That's actually what the verses say. I mean, just further than you can imagine, that's how difficult what the sign I am going to give is going to be. And when it happens, everyone is going to know that I am God. That's the context for this prophecy. God says, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Glorious, impossible. God knew how impossible it was for a virgin to give birth to a child. And the context of that prophecy is God saying, okay, if you can't come up with something so hard no one will believe it, then I will come up with it myself. And when it happens, all will know that I am God. And at just the right time, Mary gave birth to a son. Only God is able to predict the future and to ensure that it happens exactly as he said that it would. One other prophecy that I want to talk about. There's several more, but one that I want to talk about because it brings us all the way back to Luke chapter 2. After Christ was born, it says that the wise men followed a star and made their way to Jerusalem. And when they got to Jerusalem, they went to King Herod and they asked him, where is the king of the Jews that's been born? Well, Herod doesn't know. And Herod, this is a different message, but Herod has alternative motives. We know that. But Herod doesn't know where the king is going to be born. But he says, I'll ask the scribes because they will know. And they did know because God had said all the way over in Micah. And so the scribes went to Micah and they read, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. God wanted his son to be born in Bethlehem, which is the same city that David was born in. And that takes us all the way back to Luke chapter 2. Because the virgin who was going to give birth to the child lived in Nazareth. But God had said the son would be born in Bethlehem. And so God moved heaven and earth. And through a Roman emperor and a Syrian governor, a census was called at just the right time. And Joseph and Mary traveled to Bethlehem. I want to read it one more time. At that time, the Roman emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and she laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. Not one word of God will ever fail. Some of you need to hear that this morning. Not one word of God will ever fail. Nothing is impossible with God. And just as everything he said came to pass when Jesus was born, so you who have put your hope and your trust and your faith in God, you who have built your life and your foundation on Jesus Christ, you can know, you can be sure that everything else he has said about Jesus and about those who are in Jesus will come to pass. So be encouraged. Because another prophecy has been made. Prophecies were made about his first coming. Prophecies have been made about his second coming. Paul wrote one of those in 1 Thessalonians 4. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that Jesus will return. And that when he returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And first, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. And then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. By your word spoken, you created the heavens and the earth. By your word, Jesus, you are sustaining the world and you are directing it to your appointed end. And a day is going to come that by your word, it's going to cease. So we thank you for your word. By your words, you have spoken to us through prophets, through the Bible, and by your word, Jesus, you speak to us. Thank you for your words. And God, we praise you and we thank you that not one of your words will ever fail. We declare and we proclaim and we confess that all things are possible with you, God. More than we can ask or imagine. So thank you for reminding us this morning of things that you said ahead of time that at just the right time came to pass. Thank you for reminding us that there are things that are going to happen in the future that we long for and we look for and we pray for. And at just the right time, they will come to pass. And for now, we remember other words that you spoke about Jesus and his death and his resurrection. So as we enter into this time, we thank you for your words, and we thank you for your word. Amen.